Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Hope your Monday is going well. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Time to talk a little Texas national politics with our good friend, GOP political strategist Matt Mikowiak, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Doing great.
Great. Thanks for coming on today. Let's start off looking at the national scene a little bit. Hillary Clinton, her book is, depending on who you talk to, is doing okay or not doing okay. It's not doing great. I don't think anyone out there is saying that her book is just off the charts. Everything's going amazing. But she is going around getting a lot of press and a lot of bad press that is out there. Is the strategy right now, you think, from Republican activists and strategists who are out there, is it to get a lot of bad news out right now about Hillary Clinton to maybe, I guess, help make up her mind and force her not to run for election?
Well, I mean, I think that, sure, if she were to choose not to run, there would be tremendous uncertainty about the Democratic candidate for president in 2016. The bench is extraordinarily weak on the Democratic side. You would think that Vice President Joe Biden or Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts would be perhaps the likely nominee, but it would be kind of a free-for-all. But I don't necessarily think this is about what Republicans are doing. I think it's about what Hillary's doing. And because, you know, she set up all these softball interviews with, you know, lots of rules, and she'll only, you know, talk to this person on this day for this many minutes. And ultimately, she's the one that's creating all the problems for herself with the things she's saying. I mean, she's really showing that she's going to have a very difficult time talking about her own wealth. There was a really, really good piece in the Washington Post this morning about Democratic concerns with her ability to talk about her wealth and to appeal to the middle class, something she's been able to do in the past. But, you know, the Clintons have earned over $100 million in the last 8 years, and so their lives have changed considerably. So, you know, she just has created a lot of problems for herself with this round, you know, intense round of media over the last 2 weeks. I think it showed that she's not as strong a candidate as people think, that, you know, that the media scrutiny is going to be significant, and I think ultimately this is going to make her rethink whether running for president is what she wants to do and something that she should do.
Well, I think you go back to 2008 when she was, you know, first considered unbeatable. Barack Obama beat her, and we can chalk that up to, you know, being a first, you know, the first black president. We can chalk it up to Hillary fatigue, maybe, but she was beaten. I think even since then, wouldn't you agree that even since then she's become weaker with, you know, the scandals that happened in the State Department and everything that she has kind of touched and been a part of, and now with this wealth issue that she's made so much money. They made a big deal out of Mitt Romney. You know, he could not connect people because he had so much money. It seems like she's just a weaker candidate than she was back in 2008.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is, you know, for the most part, her 4 years, while there's not an accomplishment, there also, at least at the time, didn't seem to be a glaring, you know, weakness or a major problem. It's only now that some of these foreign policy decisions during her time that we've started to see how bad the result is. Obviously, Iraq is you know, exploding, and she's got some culpability for that. Only now we know more about Benghazi than we did, you know, let's say during the 2008, you know, presidential campaign when there was less known. And so, you know, you just ultimately, I think, as President Obama's foreign policy continues to really kind of explode, she's got responsibility for that. And so it's kind of a ticking time bomb that just goes off and ultimately makes you say, well, what the hell was she doing for 4 years? Why are we in such a terrible position? And it undermines, I think, the credential that she had going into this. So what's interesting, Chad, is I think a year ago you would have said, you know, the last 4 years were good for Hillary, took her away from the partisan battles of Washington. She got to be a global, you know, icon and represented the United States across the world. It's only now, upon, you know, real inspection, have we seen how bad foreign policy's been and her own responsibility for that.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, what do you think about the change in GOP leadership in the House?
I'm not sure it matters much. Leadership floor, you know, leadership votes and leadership, you know, races are, you know, an inside game. It's very hard for even influential activists to have much of a say in what goes on. Look, McCarthy's less conservative than Cantor. I mean, that's just a fact. I think McCarthy is a very savvy guy. I've been in meetings with him before. He's very astute. He's very smart politically. He cares a lot about where members are. He doesn't try to pressure you, which is unusual for a whip position. You know, Scalise is more conservative than McCarthy, so we're getting an upgrade for the whip position. But I don't think Scalise is a strong, you know, really movement conservative. So I'm not sure it matters much. I do think, you know, that the energy in the party remains with the grassroots, and leadership is going to continue to have to really, you know, be careful about what they do, particularly on the issue of immigration, given that the energy is really on the far right now.
Do you think there's a downside to being in leadership right now?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you don't have the power you once had. You can't use earmarks to get votes. And, you know, every minute you're in leadership, you start to get tagged with being part of the problem, part of Washington, and you're away from your own constituency. You know, is it fun? Is it, are there perks? Is it a great life? Do you have a security detail? Do you get to travel nationally? Do you get to raise more money? Yes, all those things are true. But, you know, with that added responsibility, you have a lot of added risk and a lot of added headaches. And I will say this, there's probably no time in recent history where being in leadership has been less fun than it is right now.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP political strategist, also co-founder, MustReadTexas.com. One of the stories I know that you focused on here statewide is the Wendy Davis story from Politico, in particular the Wendy Davis defiant as campaign grinds on. What are your thoughts on this story?
Well, it's a must read. I mean, I really think everyone listening to your show will be fascinated to read the story Politico had over the weekend. Katie Gluck, who really is kind of focused on Texas for Politico, she interviewed Wendy Davis down in San Antonio. And what I thought was really kind of a disastrous story. I mean, it's basically, you know, let me ask you 10 different ways why you're losing. And for some reason, they, you know, agreed to sort of participate with that. I guess they felt they couldn't say no to Politico, or maybe they were snookered into it. I don't know. But, you know, their basic argument is don't believe the polling. Don't believe, you know, the groups that are, you know, saying that this isn't competitive. We are actually really doing great on the ground, and there's a lot of energy, and this is going to be close. The problem is the Democrats across the country that are, you know, that are in the business of deciding which races to invest in, continue to say that this race is not developing, that Wendy's not making it competitive, that it's not winnable. And you're going to continue to see this build because, again, you've got so many races out there that are competitive, governor's races and U.S. Senate races that need resources on both sides, that Wendy's going to continue to get, I think, criticism about the campaign that she's run. Look, you don't change, campaign managers 5 months out if things are going well. And I think the other thing I'd say about Wendy right now is, what's her campaign message? You know, I don't know what her message is. I mean, I know she wants to be governor. I know they're going to celebrate the abortion filibuster on the one-year anniversary this week. I don't know what her campaign message is. Mm-hmm. And to think that she's been running for, you know, 8-9 months, doesn't have a campaign message at this point. All she's done is collect email addresses and raise money.
Well, and I think what's interesting, you brought up the filibuster, the anniversary of what they call the people's filibuster. We'll hear all about that this week. The Davis campaign, they have tried to stay away from the abortion issue. They have tried to say that she's much more about, you know, she has much more, you know, a philosophy regarding all kinds of different sectors. We don't want to talk about abortion. They have stayed away from abortion, but now they're going to celebrate it and celebrate her filibuster this week. It doesn't make sense, really.
Doesn't make any sense. You know, they want to have it both ways. They want to take whatever political good there is from that, but not accept the political cost. And I, you know, it's a losing issue. It was a losing issue at the legislature when the bill passed with increased support. They added a Democratic state senator from South Texas to support the bill after the filibuster. So it failed in that respect. And it's also a losing issue in terms of where the public is on this. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess they thought they had to do something. And look, she's gotten a lot of money and a lot of support from pro-choice groups, Emily's List, Annie's List, Planned Parenthood. Those groups have been aggressively supporting her, recruited her, provided volunteers, provided hundreds of thousands of dollars directly to her campaign so far. So she probably thought she had to do something. But again, this muddies the waters, and it continues to make her sort of the pro-abortion candidate who's only known for that reason in this race, and that is a very tough place to be in a red state and a really bad political year for Democrats.
Matt, what are some of the other stories that people can find on mustreadtexas.com?
Well, one thing is that Governor Perry and U.S. Senator Ted Cruz and Attorney General Greg Abbott are all touring facilities in South Texas today, in San Antonio and in Weslaco, touring, looking at the border facilities with these unaccompanied minors. So you're going to see a lot of attention on that today. The Homeland Security Secretary was in San Antonio on Friday. So there's a couple stories about that. A lot of news. I couldn't even get to all of it right now with you. But there's a lot of good political and business news at mustreadtexas.com, where you can sign up for our daily email.
Absolutely. Matt, thank you very much.
All right, Chad. See you.